Good afternoon. You're joining the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And if you were just listening to the news and you heard the first hour of the show, there was a little, the library was in the news there just a minute ago. And apparently in
the New York Library.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, right next door to the New York Library that we've been discussing. Apparently they've had an issue with people paying their library fines in Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
And so, they aren't taking them anymore?
So civilization, as we know it, is almost over.
Now you know we're going down the tubes.
I was like, what are the odds we're talking about libraries and, yeah, Chuck E. Cheese tokens. So long before George Washington's day, crazy stuff. So you can find...
I'm going to have to break out some of my tokens from the driving range on the golf course and see if those are legal tender as well, then.
Well, you know, apparently people are trying almost anything. But, you know, I think Chuck E. Cheese tokens are kind of expensive, so the library might want to rethink that. My kids were little, but that was in the 80s, and I remember it was like, okay, we didn't go to Chuck E. Cheese because it was really expensive.
Secondary market on Chuck E. Cheese and cheese pizza.
But heck, I delivered the Hartford Current when George Washington's address was in it, so what do I know?
Man, you're old.
I'm wicked old, as my nieces and nephews would say.
I should say, parenthetically, there is one publication at the time that gave service to the occasion of the bicentennial of the farewell address, and that was the San Diego Union Tribune, which ran a piece called Celebrating Washington's Foresight. And that was published on the 19th of September of 1996, 1 month before the Republican National Convention in San Diego.
So they were kind of on the team there. I was going to point out to our listeners, especially if you're driving or doing yard work or something, and you're thinking, how am I going to look up all this stuff? Well, you can just go to the website. It's wethepeopleradio.us. We have George Washington's farewell address on there. We also have the Frankfurt School, which is what we were discussing before we so rudely interrupted our guest and had to take a little break there. We also have the original manuscript on there, digital transcription. We've got the California Dynasty of Communism, which we haven't even gotten to yet. But all those things are on there in PDF format for you. And we are speaking with our guest, Double X. He is a radio personality, a host, producer, writer, speaker, award-winning filmmaker, and pilot. It's kind of an odd assortment there. Pilot, just throw that in at the end. He's a U.S. military veteran, investigator, designer, and entrepreneur from Southern California. So pretty much he's been there and done that. And he works with Pastor Ernie Sanders' radio ministry called What's Right, What's Left, reaching 38 states and 9 million listeners from WHKW in Cleveland, Ohio. That we'll be having to tune into because it sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, back to the Frankfurt School before we become derailed by Chuck E. Cheese tokens and, you know, other memorabilia.
Important issues.
Well, Aaron and Bill, we can continue with the Frankfurt School thing. Just to capture a couple of thoughts, though, before we proceed.
Sure.
Number one, for folks who are interested, well, there's about three here real quick. The first thing is, listeners who want to get a look at the farewell address today, as listener Kay had mentioned, being from Virginia, we are fortunate that the University of Virginia at Charlottesville, some decades ago now, established something called the Papers of George Washington. And in 20 volumes, they assembled all the papers of President Washington and General Washington. And those now exist and can be purchased in hardbound version or otherwise. But most importantly, you can now go to the University of Virginia, the Papers of George Washington website, and there you can search for the farewell address in the search box, and it will bring up a facsimile image of the original manuscript of the farewell address. And it also has a digital transliteration of the manuscript so that it's much easier to read. And so the two become a very effective digital content on the farewell address. And effectively, that's how people can access the farewell address today and begin to put that in back into their classrooms and back into their families' understanding and in their neighborhoods and among their neighbors. And that's what needs to be done because although Washington's style in the farewell address is tremendously eloquent and in a language and a style and a text, if you will, a vernacular that's meant to last through the ages, if people give it a try and spend a little time on the farewell address, they will see that it yields tremendous wisdom. So that's point number one. Remember that you can...
Yeah, his handwriting is lovely. But yet again, we have taken cursive, the education of cursive writing out of the schools. So this is all written, as our other founding documents, in script, as we used to call it, you know, cursive writing.
Sure.
It's not printed in black letters. So
how many kids today could even read that?
Yeah, most of the kids, younger kids, won't be able to read this at all. But I did put both direct links on the webpage for you. But the nuns would have been thrilled if I could have coughed up cursive writing like this. I probably would have gotten better grades.
Anna's still teaching her third graders cursive.
Good for her.
She's not happy about them taking it out of the school system.
I don't blame her. I mean, it's weird. You literally can't read the founding documents in their original form if you can't read cursive.
Well,
so.
What is it, California colleges?
And it may not be that's by accident either, but the point is that folks can get to the farewell address right now with their smart device, with their computer, with their handheld device, and they can carry that with them just as they can carry with them the U.S. Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, which comes in handy sometimes these days as you're afoot in the streets.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's point number one.
It's interesting, too, on the manuscript, just to point out, this isn't, it isn't like we see now. Most of the time now, we don't see anything with any correction in it because we can correct it all on our Word documents and things like that. This was actually written with pen. And you can see the things he crossed out. He made notes in the margin. It's really very interesting. You can kind of follow the thought process as he was creating the document. It isn't just the finished copy. It's a working document.
Absolutely. There's tremendous provenance on this document, Aaron and Bill, and it's really a thrill to see that facsimile image of it on of the farewell address on the University of Virginia website. So, again, the University of Virginia website, the papers of George Washington, search for the farewell address, and you're going to be just thrilled by that. And anybody who's an educator and out there who has their heart in trying to push back against the cultural Marxism that holds sway in academia in our country, they're going to just love this to get it back into the classroom. So, next item is real quick on a housekeeping basis, and that is, for folks who are interested, radio pastor Ernie Sanders, broadcasting from Independence, Ohio, some 20, 25 miles southeast of Cleveland, over the last 45 years, on AM 1220 out of Cleveland there, called WHKW call sign. You can listen to Pastor Sanders' broadcast every evening, Monday through Friday, at www.whkwradio.com. So it's whkwradio.com.
And I will link that up.
Yeah, and Pastor broadcasts at 10 p.m. Eastern Time until midnight Eastern Time. So for Pacific time zone folks, that's 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time zone, Monday through Friday at whkwradio.com. And if folks have a taste for liberty and for the Christian ethic that underpins the founding of our country, they won't be disappointed by Pastor Sanders. The first half hour of the broadcast is prayer and scripture, and then typically he will have a guest who will spend the next hour with him in the middle of the broadcast, who is national in character or who has an issue that's national in character. And then the last half hour is a listener call-in with questions. And folks who want to call in, they can do so at that number or for Pastor Sanders' broadcast at the following number, 888-677-9673. So for Pastor Sanders, What's Right, What's Left broadcast Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time at whkwradio.com. They can then call in the latter portion of the broadcast to talk with Pastor and their guests at 888 877-9673. So we've got that housekeeping out of the way now, Bill and Aaron.
And by
the way,
that is all posted. There we go.
Okay, very good. And by the way, folks will be interested to know that Pastor Sanders realizes that the wheelhouse of cultural Marxism is, of course, the state of California. And so as of, it looks very close to making a deal happen, and this is a little bit before the horse is out of the barn yet, but I think it's safe to say that the lock is off of the hinge right now in the stable. And come Monday, the 2nd of October, Pastor Sanders will be beaming his radio ministry directly into California on AM 1210 in Southern California in San Diego County. And AM 1210 is part of the Salem Media Group network, and that will be from 10 p.m. Pacific time until midnight. And so, in effect, what will happen each Monday through Friday, the broadcast will be broadcast live over the Internet from 7 to 9 p.m. for Pacific Time Zone listeners, and then a rebroadcast of it over the airwaves on AM 1210 covering San Diego County will occur at 10 p.m. Pacific Time until midnight.
Give us that that website again that they can listen to the live broadcast on.
Yeah, that's whkwradio.com. And again, WHKW is, again, part of the Salem Media Group. The Salem Media Group is headquartered in Camarillo, California, which is effectively Ventura County, west of Los Angeles. And they have 115 radio stations, AM and FM stations, in all the major markets around the country, which includes talk and other formats for Christian broadcasting. So it's a great opening salvo, if you will, against cultural Marxism, because Pastor Sanders tells it like it is. There is no varnish on his product. It's all the real deal.
If
and
I may
so I think folks will
put it a plug for our own news network here. We get our news from Salem at the top of each hour from the secular division of the Salem Radio Network, and Larry Elder's talk show that we run overnight as well.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. So so Pastor Sanders will be coming, you know, coming to California here next month now, and so it's important for us in California to realize that there are plans out there to shift our culture back away from the cultural Marxism and to get very quickly a crest of liberty, if you will, rising, so that ultimately when you add wave upon wave of conversations about liberty in California, that sooner or later that cresting wave will break, and with any luck we can wash the cultural Marxists from our shore here in short order. And we can talk more offline, if you like, Aaron and Bill, about that prospect. And I'll enjoy visiting with you later this month as we talk about these things in more detail in person. But the listeners should know that it will be time to engage here for the election in 2018 and as we think about the general election in 2020. And part of engaging on that is to recover our first principles, not the least of which, of course, is Washington's farewell address to the people. So that's all about Pastor Ernie Sanders. And now returning to Commander Atkinson's brilliant scholarship.
But yet again, we have to celebrate capitalism here.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, we'll do like we did last hour where everything was all jammed up at the end.
Outstanding.
Okay, so before we get rolling again, we'll be right back with you. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. And I've added all the links we just talked about, so if, in case your pen ran out of ink, it's all on there for you.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. The But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
I don't know those Americans, crazy Americans, what they'll do. All right. Back to our guest, Double X. And finally, the Frankfurt School. Tell all.
Yeah. some jazzed up music there for sure from the 70s with Grand Funk Railroad, an American band, though. You know, we've got great opportunity in this country. You can be and do and say whatever you want to say as long as you're, you know, staying within the bounds of the Constitution, and that freedom still exists for us in this country, and it's like no other. That's why in the space of 250 years, less even 200 years, we became the greatest nation that ever existed on the earth, because we had the liberty to be everything that we can be. And that's still there for us, but we've got to push back against this globalism, against the cultural Marxism, against the collectivism that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama seem to have personified. And I remember, just parenthetically here for a moment, Aaron and Bill, a snapshot of a picture of Hillary Clinton on the center stage of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia last year, with her arm outstretched, upraised with a clenched fist, as she wore a blue tunic in the style of Mao Zedong, and in her clenched fist there may as well have been a hammer there, she having been a member of the Communist Party and an attorney for the Communist Party at one point. And then President Barack Obama, with a crooked arm, if you will, was holding her outstretched hand by the wrist, upraised as well. And it was almost in the shape of a crescent moon, and it looked to me like that image said it all. Here we have communism and we have Islam together, the two most virulent totalitarian regimes on the face of the earth. And so I captioned that image "Kamuzlism."
Kind of hard to spell, but it does roll right off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah. But, I mean, there it is, this whole, and so the Marxists really thought that they had it in the bag and that Hillary Clinton was going to be the personification of this matriarchy that they've been looking for, to kind of silence more or less the red-blooded American males who had made this country great over the last couple hundred years, as the Marxists had intended. But it just flat didn't work out that way, and there's a reason for that, Bill and Aaron. And it has to do with an important function of history that we need to understand in our present moment and reflect upon. And I think it's important to make this quick digression before we return to Commander Atkinson's, analysis in his article, "What is the Frankfurt School?" But the digression is that there was a gentleman who was just a brilliant scholar who passed on in 2012 at the age of 104, and his name was Jacques Barzun. And Jacques Barzun was for 40 years a universally read scholar in liberal arts at Cambridge University in England and at Columbia University in New York, when it meant something to be a professor from one of those institutions. And he ended up writing about 40 books over the years. He had been born in France, was multilingual, and as I say, just a brilliant man with a universal scope of the Western tradition. So he wrote his signature work then, his last volume, which was called From Dawn to Decadence, 500 Years of Western Cultural Life. And that was taking note when he published in the year 2000 of the time frame from the year 1500, when the flowering of the Renaissance happened in the Western tradition after centuries of onslaught and attack from Islam, which effectively had destroyed the Roman Empire and the Western tradition, because when Islam in conquest swept through Europe, effectively all the books were burned, the Bibles, etc. Even Qurans were burned that the Westerners possessed because the Islamists said, well, we've got our own books, so if they've got Islam, we already know what that is, so we don't need that either. But so we went into those Dark Ages, as they were called, and so it took till about 1500 for us to reconstitute that Western tradition in the Renaissance and then press forward from there. So from dawn to decadence, from 1500 to 2000, one of the key and fundamental truths that Jacques Barzun pulled out of that experience, and I'm not talking just English-speaking, I'm talking French, Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, Middle European, he was universally read. So in about 800 or 900 pages, he documented what happened, and one of the key points, which we can take heart from today, is that every 50 years in history, people react to what has happened in the previous half century. Now let's take that truth that he divined from his examinations, his deep scholarship, and apply that to our own circumstance. We've had 50 years where the cultural Marxism percolating, under the radar in our country, and now boiling out into the streets, and yet in 2016, our people rose up on the 8th of November and said, "Enough is enough. We're going to vote for liberty. We're going to vote for the American idea again. We're going to make America great again." And similarly, in 2016, the British people on the 23rd of June spontaneously rose up and said, "We're going to exit the European Union," but Brexit, as it was called. And so they reached up and grabbed their sovereignty and their liberty again. Now, it's still undetermined whether or not they'll actually be able to consummate that with, the collectivists and cultural Marxists that hold sway in their country and in their parliament at the moment. But nonetheless, they voted for liberty again. So this is a function of history.
But wouldn't you also agree that as a result of that, it's also spawned the Black Lives Matters, the Antifa, all these other groups, going to the streets, probably more than ever before?
Well, yeah, Bill, I think what's happening, is that Bill or Bob?
That was Bill.
Okay, yeah, Bill. Yeah, I agree with you, and I think what we're seeing is a last-ditch effort in our country by the cultural Marxists to try to grab this thing before history sweeps them off the table. And
God, I hope you're right.
We've seen Marxism and we've seen communism do its thing previously. And remember in 1989 what happened with the Berlin Wall. That Berlin Wall came down and boom, inside of a week, the Soviet Union had ceased to exist. And so after having killed 40 to 60 million of their own people in the purges of Stalin and in the Leninist stuff and the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 in October, we saw 86 million Chinese people killed by Mao Zedong. Islam, over 14 centuries since Muhammad kind of had his delusional fantasies in the 600s as effectively a 7th century warlord, we see 270 million killed. Well, so the point of all that is these voracious totalitarian ideas ultimately run their course, and then their momentum, comes to a grinding halt as well. And as I say, Jacques Barzun's lesson for us in the pages of our own Western experience is that there's nothing you can do if you're a cultural Marxist to assuage that function of history. It's coming whether they like it or not. Our job, I think, Bill and Aaron, is as red-blooded Americans who believe in the Constitution, believe in a limited government constitutional republic, believe in the Word of God, the Christian God, God the Father, and the Holy Bible and the Holy Scripture upon which our nation was built. Those of us who believe in that, it's our job to accelerate the timetable here and get us quickly back into a condition of liberty.
So how do we stop that? I mean, the movement right now, I mean, with the with the tearing down of our statues and, you know, the rewriting of our history. How do we slow that down or stop that at this point?
Well, I what we're seeing is stuff that's reported in the news, but remember, how many thousands of people, tens of thousands of people did we see at the Trump rallies, and how many hundreds of people did we see at the Hillary Clinton? So what may be reported in mainstream media has nothing to do and no correspondence with reality. And I've decided that mainstream media is no longer a viable source for real information, for truth. And I think the reason why we were able to prevail in 2016, Bill and Aaron, is because we had the internet available for people to go into to get the real story, to ferret out the real truth of things, to cross-check sources, to find people who are speaking without any agenda. And that's why we see so much pushback against what's referred to as the alt-right by the YouTubes and the Googles and the Twitters and so forth of the world. Because all the folks, as you're fully aware up there in San Jose and in the Silicon Valley with all the cultural Marxist, attitude that is up there, they see this whole thing sliding sideways, and so censorship is heavily engaged in these electronic formats. But there's only so much they can do because the cat's out of the bag in the information age here. And sooner or later, the market will respond to their censorship. And you will find that there will be some YouTube or Google or other conservative-based format that's going to rise up if they keep doing this censorship. Or they might find themselves regulated by an active executive like President Trump, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting because we have a guy that comes on the show quite often from Chicago, and he has put us on the media releases from the White House, so we get their communications in uncensored form. So we get, you know, script of the speeches and different things that are coming out of the White House, but directly from the White House. And it's funny, I email those out on a regular basis, and people always say, well, that's not what they told us. You know, it's just kind of amazing, but there are ways to get that information. And by the way, for our listeners, what I really think I'll do is I'll put a link on the website, and I'll put those on the web for you so you don't have to have them emailed to you if you don't want to. But I will link those. There's a weekly broadcast that comes out called The Trumpet, and kind of a fun little name they picked. But it's what actually happened in the White House that week with links to the available information. It's kind of handy. And
well,
I'm guessing we have to celebrate capitalism again. Is it time?
Oh, sure.
We're tardy again.
Okay.
Tardy again, as usual. So you have 2 minutes to breathe a sigh of relief, and we'll come right back. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Was chasing your direction. I was telling you no lies.
about blurring the lines. Elton John singing about freedom. Okay, confusing, and we're talking about George Washington. You have to be mentally limber to do this kind of thing. Hey, I wanted to point out to our listeners before we ran out of time, because I'm just guessing that might happen. There is also a link on the page that you had sent me for the California Dynasty of Communism, and it's literally the book. The pages of the book have been, scanned in, I suppose. It's from 1962, and for those of you who don't live in California, this will make sense to you. And for those of you who do, it'll confirm all your worst fears. There's a picture on the front cover that is Governor Pat Brown, so Moonbeam's dad, fraternizing with communist stalwarts Harry Bridges and Benny Bufano. Oh. It's like, all righty. And this is from 1962. It's
where
the
little Jerry got his upbringing.
I know. The California Dynasty of Communism by Carl Prussian, former FBI counter-spy within the communist conspiracy. So let's see, just the little beginning here. For 12 years, an FBI counter-spy investigating the many facets of communism in the United States, Carl Prussian, secured permission to leave the service of the Bureau in order to carry his story to the public. Like a 20th century Paul Revere. So anyway, read the rest for yourself. It's a short little book, but it is all on the website, and it'll make you sad, but it's good to know. Good to know, because if we don't know it, we think all these things are random, and they're not random. They've been planned for a long time, and they're being carried out by professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, oddly enough, we see a lot of young people on the TV news, the, the Antifa guys and all that with the masks and stuff. And they're all young because, of course, they're out there clobbering everybody. But when you look at what's being protested at like your local congressional offices and things like that, the bulk of those people are on Medicare. These are seniors that are your protesters there, where you just, hold the sign or come in or make harassing phone calls, that kind of thing. A lot of those folks are older. So this isn't a 20-something revolt. These are the people from the 60s who are still around, and they have a lot of time on their hands. There's my two bits.
But they're too old to get out and clobber people on the street.
Yeah, but they don't have any weapons anymore. Good thing.
Yeah. Well, you've asked the, you've posed the significant issue, and that's the stepping off point for Commander Atkinson's article, Aaron. And he asked the very thing in his article, "What is the Frankfurt School?" that your listeners will be able to see on the We the People Radio website that you've posted there. And his stepping off point was, is all this just random stuff that happens spontaneously in creative human experience, that we kind of get these shifts and turns in culture? The resounding answer is no, it isn't random. It was all by plan, and it was all the result of some principles that were set down by an Italian communist named Antonio Gramsci, who in 1937, at the age of 46, was executed in a Mussolini prison. But before he died, he had written some principles down, which these cultural Marxists from Frankfurt University at the Institute of Social Research took to heart and brought to this country. And Gramsci effectively said, "We're going to the idea of a revolution is passé. What you need to do is infiltrate over time the institutions of a society, and then one day the state is gone, and you've supplanted it with your Marxist agenda." And so that's what's been at play here for the last eight decades in our country now. And Commander Atkinson, his stepping off point, as I mentioned earlier, was that it's now infiltrated even into the syllabus of instruction in our U.S. military academies, not the least of which is the U.S. Naval Academy. And as we talked about with the listeners a couple of breaks ago, as we digressed ad nauseum, but we talked about the idea that at the commencement exercise at the U.S. Naval Academy in 1994, the Master Chief who was in charge of the midshipmen gave them a final order, and her name was Liz Johns. And she ordered that the midshipmen form a circle and hold shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, and then sway to the music as they played Bill Withers' Lean on Me.
Ew.
Wow.
And in that moment of emoting, there began to be heard sniffles and sobs from the midshipmen as they contemplated their matriculation from the military academy and on into the fleet. And in 1995, the Washington Times wrote a piece about this called The Crying of the Admirals. In effect, here were the future admirals of our country charged with defending the Constitution and American liberty, and they were launched into their professional career emoting their way into it. Well, that's exactly what the Marxists wanted to do. They wanted to cut us off at the knees so that, again, red-blooded American patriots who serve in the military, standing on their own two legs with reason and a firm founding or grounding, if you will, in the in Holy Scripture and the Bible, those principles that made our country strong and great and true. Instead, they've got a head full of psychology and Wundtian nonsense, cultural Marxist critical theory, in which history no longer is dates and times and places and facts, but instead is narratives about how you feel about history. And that's how cultures get flipped inside out and turned upside down. So returning to your point, Bill, as we connect Commander Atkinson's brilliant scholarship to the present moment, when we see kids in the street tearing down statues of General Robert E. Lee, it's just absolutely clear that they have no idea about American history and our American traditions. And to that point, for your listeners today, one thing that they might consider doing, since you've done such a great job of putting all the literature up here that we've talked about for the broadcast today, Aaron, on your website, what they might do on their own initiative is to go and look for General Lee's General Order Number 83 from August of 1863.
Say it one more time.
General Robert E. Lee's General Order Number 83 from August of 1863. And you will see a prayer from a devout Christian leader and military genius in our country and understand just who Robert E. Lee was, one of the greatest patriots that perhaps our country has produced, his father having been Henry Lightfoot Lee, who fought in the Revolution. So that's, it's clear that, you know, the Marxists that are out there are doing this on purpose, because that's the Marxist idea. You destroy the footprint, the path, if you will, that connects to the principles of the nation before you can rebuild the society under your own devices of, you know, collectivism and so forth. So that's the moment that we find ourselves in at the moment. And that connects then to what you've posted on the website, Aaron, which is, as you say, the pamphlet that was published in 1962, which was the California Dynasty of Communism pamphlet by Carl Prussian, who was the FBI informant for 12 years in the Communist Party and then left the FBI so he could publish what he found out. And what he found out is that Jerry Brown's dad, Edmund Pat Brown, governor of California, was a Marxist.
Huh, big shocker.
And his attorney general at the time, a man named Stanley Mosk, M-O-S-K, was likewise a Marxist. And his controller of the state at the time, a man named Alan Cranston, who then later became a Democrat senator from California, was likewise a Marxist. So this stuff has been going on since the 50s and 60s in California. And in his preface, as you touched on earlier, Aaron, Carl Prussian mentions that was the idea from the get-go. They wanted to make California effectively a Soviet state on this continent. And so now Jerry Brown follows in his father's footsteps with the collectivist Marxist legislature at the present, including some of the Republicans in name only that hold seats therein at the moment. So that's where we find ourselves, and so that's why this 2018 election is so important. And I believe, Bill, to answer your question then about how do we fight back, how do we make it happen, well, it's going to be in the congregations, the Christian congregations in California and in this nation, and particularly in Hispanic congregations of Christian churches and black congregations. But everybody's got a responsibility to take this fight into their churches and get people to start voting their values again. And if people will realize that the separation of church and state, quote-unquote, was never intended for any such purpose. The separation of church and state is to keep the state out of the church, not the obverse. So when folks realize that, they can take the shackles off, the politically correct shackles that have been placed on them by the cultural Marxists, and go out there and vote their values, and we will quickly turn these Marxist legislators out of the California legislature and return this great state to its full promise.
And wouldn't that be amazing? All right, so hearkening back to our little chat there about the military and how they were changing the culture, we had a special song we thought we should play just before the moment is lost. And then we'll be right back with our guest until the top of the hour. You are listening to We the People.
Feelings. Nothing more than feeling. Trying to forget my feelings of love.
The wow! It's my favorite part. All right. In the last 5 minutes, of course, this always happens. It's like, what? How did 2 hours blow by us? There was only a little bit of goofing off. We didn't even goof off very much. All right. What do our... Oh, end that, huh? What?
Enough of that.
And it's over. What do our listeners need to know from you?
In
the final throes here.
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge that the Eagle Forum of California, the state chapter under the leadership of President Orlean Kurla, has done a great job by digging up this background with this California Dynasty of Communism pamphlet that has surfaced, because if people have any question in their mind that all of this is happening by accident at the moment, all they have to do is go back and read that pamphlet in about 25 or 30 pages and see that you could literally erase the date 1962 when it was published and insert 2017.
Yep.
And maybe change a couple initials on last names and you're still in the same place.
Yeah, you could just leave Brown on there. Still,
right.
Still the same family,
so,
pushing the same stuff.
Yeah, So bottom line is, as Americans, we want to move quick, and we want to capture this victory for liberty, and that means we got to get out there in our congregations. We've got to undertake what I might call biblical citizenship, and if folks want to see how they can put a biblical citizenship ministry together in their congregations, they can go to the Salt and Light Council, the Salt and Light Council, and they will see that it's already been packaged and ready to go. And in their churches, they can activate their congregations to start voting their values again. And when that happens, we will flip this country back into liberty and flip this state back into the American Republic without all the lingering dinosaur cultural Marxism.
That's fantastic. And I will link that as well. The California, the particulars of California at this point, what do you think? I mean, it's no accident that the Antifa guys are all over the Berkeley campus. And why do you think that we're seeing them also in Norway and Canada and all sorts of places? I mean, it just seems to be a crazy coincidence, right?
Well, it's all manufactured, Aaron, and I know you're getting to the close of broadcast, so I just wanted to say I'm just thrilled to spend some time with you and Bill and your listeners on We the People Radio. You guys, this is truly what it's all about, and so I'm just honored to spend some time with you. But this isn't by accident, and these are the dying throes of a failed paradigm, cultural Marxism, and its offspring, globalism and collectivism. So all we got to do is push back hard as American. We are the shining light in the world. The Second Amendment allows us to keep the federal government at bay, and without that Second Amendment, liberty would have long left the planet. But we're here, and liberty is shining, and all we got to do is push hard, and we'll push these Marxists back to where they came from, which is the pit of hell.
Yeah, because nothing...
Couldn't agree more.
And so for all the people who think that, you know, this all happened with Donald Trump, because there are people who actually believe that. We elected Donald Trump, and look what happened. Our political discourse became just absolutely unraveled.
No.
And it's like,
no.
You haven't been paying attention.
Aaron and Bill, I might leave you with one thought on that point, and that is if folks will go to the Holy Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 1, you will see that this impulse to collectivism, this communist impulse, has existed in the human heart from the very beginning. And you'll see in Proverbs chapter 1, it describes we will all be of one purse, and we will lay in wait for blood. Now, if that doesn't, in two verses, sign up or describe communism in its modern iterations over the last century, I don't know what does, you know?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So in our closing moment, say that one more time.
Yeah, Proverbs chapter 1, we will lay in wait for blood, and we will all be of one purse.
Yikes. Okay. Well, thanks for that scary ending there.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. We do appreciate it. We're going to have you back.
Yeah,
we need to have you back on again.
I'm sure there's much more to share. We really appreciate your time. Have fun at the shooting range.
You bet. And thank you again, and best on Labor Day for all the red-blooded Americans who are listening today, and thank you for your leadership with We the People, Aaron and Bill.
Amen to that. All right, you can find all this information, and the commercial-free archive will be up a little bit later. And you can find that at WeThePeopleRadio.us. See you next week.